former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni with you alongside, as we are always on a Tuesday. Mike Pritchard, thank you so much for joining us again,
my
friend.
Thanks a lot for having me. Great to be with you.
Lots of football today. Our VSiN football analyst, of course. OTAs, we're in day two now, but where we're going to start, Pritch, is your Denver Nuggets.
That's right.
How excited are you they get the sweep last night in L.A.?
Very excited for the franchise, very excited for the city. Long-term or long-time suffering Nuggets fans, very excited for them as well. It's been a long time coming. I mean, there's some passionate fans in Denver when it comes to their Nuggets and the history of the team, the history of the franchise out there in Denver, too. So they overcome that hurdle, that big obstacle, and they get into the NBA Finals. And rightly so. I mean, this has been a buildup, I believe, the excitement. The resentment towards the fact that they're a flyover city when it comes to free agents. Nobody really wants to go to Denver. So this team is homegrown in the eyes of Nuggets fans, and they're passionate about it. And Ball Arena is going to be at a fever pitch, certainly for the finals. But I'm happy for the organization, happy for all the people involved, all the people that I know throughout the years with the Nuggets organization right now.
Absolutely. A 113-111 win straight up as a 3.5-point dog last night. They're in the NBA Finals for the first time in the franchise's 47-year history. And for me personally, got home. We did a money line parlay with the Heat in Game 3, and the Nuggets yesterday paid out about plus 470. Mm-hmm, so very hype that your guys were able to get that through for me last night. And so this was a game where LA did have a decent lead at halftime.
Right.
And you think, okay, all of the talk and the narrative coming in about this one, obviously Lakers favored at home in the spot to not get swept, for LeBron and AD to rise to the occasion. LeBron has this incredible 31-point first half. And then that just quickly evaporates there in the third quarter because the Nuggets just proved to be the better team in this spot. How surprised were you to see the Nuggets flip the switch the way that they did and say, no, we want to close this out today, and we're not going to let LeBron stay hot like this?
Yeah, you know, I could see why people would want to bet against, you know, bet with LeBron there and say, okay, they're going to avoid
against the wall.
Yeah, they're going to avoid
that.
The sweep because he's got pride, right? And they also have pedigree, I think, when it comes to the Lakers and on that roster. But the Nuggets have just been a better team, though. They've been the dominant team all season long. They've been a resilient team all season long. I know some people out in Denver, they've question Malone and his coaching ability or his adjustments. But when you have superstars like he has on the floor and they're all dealing, they all understand their role. Gordon playing defense. Look, don't score. We got some scores. We're good. We need you to D up here down the stretch. And he did that along with Jamal too. I mean, so everybody has a distinct role, Stormy, and they're all performing it at a high level. I mean, the Joker, it doesn't matter. Give him the ball. He's the man in the ball like an MVP should do. And he delivers, right? Jamal Murray, I mean, the Blue Arrow, back to the Blue Arrow now. I mean, he's delivering. So I think each and everybody on that roster right now, it's a collective. It's a team effort. They believe in each other. They trust each other. And you can see that. It's very evident. So it's different with the Lakers, right? There's strife. There's not understanding roles. And certainly there's one superstar. And you wonder if the other one's going to show up from night to night. And I think the inconsistency right there led to this outcome. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see a sweep coming. But, you know, I did anticipate the Nuggets taking care of business, probably in seven, having home court advantage.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We all coming into this, we're thinking that this is going to be a long, hard-fought series.
Right.
And it ended up feeling like maybe some of the narrative from the series prior where LeBron and Anthony Davis and some of these older pieces on this roster are going to start getting fatigued, going to start getting tired. And that just happened in this series instead of the series prior. Mm-hmm. And you look at LeBron James, and I mentioned the first half that he had. He ends up an assist shy of a triple-double, has 40, 10, and 9, played 48 minutes, 38 years old. And while we know that LeBron wants to continue to play, or so we thought, listen to what he had to say post-game, because now there's some question marks based on how he left the podium yesterday.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward. But I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. And just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, got a lot to think about.
Do you think that's just, you know, it's hard to be in that spot on the podium after what you just exhausted on the court and being put in that situation? Or is it worth reading into a little bit like some people are this morning?
No, I think you could read into that. I mean, for any player, when you call it quits, I mean, you're pretty much shutting the door and you're not going to go back, you know, Tom Brady aside, right? But LeBron has so many other things going on in his life. That you wonder if he's ready to transition into that, right? He's been playing this game for a long, long time, and his body probably feels like death right now, Stormy. And so that's a tough question to ask or get an answer, a passionate answer. You know, he's going to have to think about it. And I think superstars like this, they do think about it because when they shut the door, it's closed for majority of the time. But, you know, he's a competitor. He's a fierce competitor. If the Lakers do something to entice him, and maybe that's a message that he's sending right now, the Lakers, hey, look, we got to do a lot here. We got to do, you know, if you want to keep me, I got one more situation. That could be a possibility. And maybe he's throwing that negotiation out there or that message to the front office, which, and we know that they need to change up a little bit.
No question. So we'll see what comes through that. You might have seen, if you're watching us on the television screen as well, the Dave McMenamin follow-up tweet to that when pressed a little bit further by ESPN on LeBron James' thought process. He said he was asked, when you say you have to think about stuff, what thread should we be pulling on that? And he responded blatantly, like, if I want to continue to play, as in next year, yes. And when asked if he would walk away, he said, I got to think about it. So we'll see what ends up happening there. No doubt one of the – I mean – you can have the LeBron MJ debate all you want. Jordan is still my guy, but clearly a top three, top five player in NBA history, regardless of what happens here. But a wasted performance for him on a night that the Lakers needed to rise to the occasion. Nobody else really did. Anthony Davis, 21 points, 14 rebounds, but you needed an all-out performance. Right. Aside LeBron, you didn't get it. Another no-show for D'Angelo Russell in this spot. You don't want to have to rely on whether or not we're going to have a big night from Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura to be what determines your fate in this spot. Meanwhile, on the opposite side for Denver, Nikola Jokic, his eighth triple-double, the most ever in an NBA postseason, passes Wilt Chamberlain's 56-year record last night, wins Western Conference Final MVP. He was incredible. And shout out DraftKings for reminding us that he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I was in Denver covering obviously all Denver sports. And by the way, I guess now the Rockies, we'll see what the Nuggets, if they can win a championship, but then the Rockies would be the only one. They got to a World Series, haven't won a championship. Obviously the Broncos and certainly the Avs have. But, you know, with Nikola Jokic, he went from a clumsy, out of shape basketball player that you didn't know a lot about. And it was a draft and stash situation for the Nuggets at the time. And credit Connolly, who came over from D.C., that organization. I think he's in Minnesota now. But in terms of constructing this roster, I mean, nobody knew about Nikola Jokic. And you're right, the Taco Bell commercial, we made fun of that. But he is not only one of the best players in the league right now, but he's on the verge and transitioning and moving into that direction in terms of all-time great player, right? Because what he's doing now outside the arc with the Dirk knee up and, you know, making it difficult to defend any type of jump shot or any type of three-point opportunity. And then what he does with passing the basketball as well as down low, I mean, it's incredible. You can't defend the guy, and you're frustrated by trying to do so. So I think his confidence has grown so much, Stormy, when you think about where he was at and being out of shape and being told that. But no, he's turned into a superstar in the league and certainly helping the Nuggets prevail and perhaps win a championship this year.
Best in the world for my money right now and proving it on a nightly basis. He is now -220 favorite to win finals MVP.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets, after entering this playoff run behind the Phoenix Suns, behind the Golden State Warriors in the betting odds to win the Western Conference, now finally starting to get the respect that they deserve. -280 to win the NBA Finals
crazy?
Are the Denver Nuggets.
The respect that they deserve, too.
The most doubted one seed
you can think of.
It's crazy. We never, in the history of the NBA Conference Finals, have had each of their respective conferences end in sweeps. Mm-hmm. And there is potential for that tonight with Miami and Boston.
I know. How about that? I mean, it's been so unpredictable when it comes to the NBA playoffs this year. And I don't know what's going on with Boston. I do know this. I've said this before on the network. It's either hot or cold in Boston, period. There's no in between. So I don't know what kind of team's going to show up. I know the Heat, who underachieved all year long. Maybe you can contribute that to some injury situations, but it's a new season in the NBA, as we know, with the playoffs. And they have not lost at home. I mean, I know they're a favorite now. There was a pick 'em before. Now you look at what, laying a point and a half. Mm-hmm. Rightly so. We talked about that before the show. But I don't know what type of character Boston has right now or what type of fight this basketball team has right now.
Yeah, it just seems like that the Heat have come out with a different intensity, a different will to win. Mm-hmm. And if you're Boston, you need your stars to elevate their game. You need Jason Tatum to stop being the Tin Man. He's got no heart, it feels like, on a nightly basis in this series. But you mentioned Miami being favored in this spot. Yeah. It's crazy to me. Despite being up 3-0 in the set, this is the first time that they have been favored against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. They've only been favored, of the 14 games that they have played, they've only been favored in 11? Is that right?
I mean, that's hard to think.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. That's wild to me. Okay, we will continue previewing this game next as well as throughout the course of the show, but lots of news in the NFL as well coming up. Stay with us on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. Open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I was so bad at trying to express what I wanted to going to break. I'm going to redeem myself here, Pritch.
I love that.
What I meant to say... Mm-hmm. About the Miami Heat, who are a 1.5-point favorite tonight against the Boston Celtics as they look to get the sweep, closing things out at home in South Beach. It's just the fourth time this postseason, period, that the Heat have been favored despite playing 14 games and winning 11 of them.
Okay.
This is just the fourth time.
Right.
So I got it out of my system. There we go.
See, I love that because it's like when you throw a piece of paper in the trash and you miss it.
Yes.
You get up and walk over and... put it in
or even reshoot it,
right? I mean, no, or move the drill. Like, okay, let's back up the drill. Let's do this thing over. Let's do it right. I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it's not done right, it's not worth doing, as I like to say. But this is interesting that mm-hmm. the Heat, I think, similar to what we talk about the Denver Nuggets, finally getting the respect that they deserve in the futures market, the Miami Heat getting the respect that they deserve in this series. They have shown every single game that they have played at a different level. They have been better. They win their first game at home in this series by 26 points, and it was never a question that they were going to beat Boston in that spot. Do you have any immediate feel for tonight?
Well, I mean, the feel would be to lay it 1.5 with the Heat. They just don't lose at home, and 1.5 is respectable. I mean, I think that's a decent enough number to lay it, especially when there's such of an unknown with the Celtics on the other side. Here, so I've been mentioning every time I do a show with you about there's no data point for me to bring from the regular season to the NBA postseason right now. Now, JVT might be different, and some other handicappers might be different to gain their edge, but I want to be simple with this. Who's comfortable and who's not? I go back to the NCAA championship. Who got comfortable the quickest and who was uncomfortable the longest? And a lot of times that was beneficial for me betting games like that. And so now you have a sweep scenario in the face of the Boston Celtics. And who's uncomfortable? Boston's uncomfortable. I mean, what rotation, what lineup, what magical combination do they have or solution does their coach have to help them out? Now, are they going to galvanize and are they going to play tougher defense? They still play in isolation on offense. You know, who's going to go off tonight for Boston? Whereas on the other side, the Heat, they've had to adjust to all these injury situations. Spoelstra, very in tune with his roster. Mm-hmm. And everybody's comfortable because everybody's role. I mean, Lowry out there for 28 minutes off the bench. I mean, the impact that he's making. I mean, everybody's comfortable with their role, right? And they do have a superstar who could go off and play both ends of the floor with Butler. So maybe some you know, when you look at players, individual prop situations like that, that could be an angle. But I'm not afraid of laying a point and a half with Miami.
Yeah, I totally understand that thought process. I like what you said about everybody knowing their role. And mm-hmm. we know that role players tend to play better at home as well. It was obviously the Gabe Vincent game,
right,
last
right.
game in game three, had a career high 29 points. Mm-hmm. But it was Duncan Robinson. It was Caleb Martin. Caleb Martin had 18 points. He's had 15 plus in each game of this series. His prop tonight's only set at 11.5.
Right.
His 3-point prop is also set at just over 1.5. He's hit 3+ triples in each game of this series. So those are juiced a little bit around the -130, -140 range, but all, I think, very, very reasonable bets when it comes to some of the role players tonight. We will continue to preview this game throughout the course of the next 2 hours. We have VSiN's own Will Hill, who's been doing a great job betting the NBA, who will join us later on this hour. We also have Josh Applebaum, host of the Market Insights and Morning Bets podcast for VSiN. He does a really intriguing look on a daily basis of just where the money and bets are flowing. So give us the latest market report on this game tonight. And also later on in the show, I won't do it right now, but later on in the show, we'll get to the Vegas Golden Knights okay. taking on the Dallas Stars tonight. First game in Dallas. The Florida Panthers came through for me last
yes,
night,
good,
and I am
good.
Stoked. They are okay. up 3-0. I mean, all of these games, we could be having a legit, like, full week right. off before we get to the NBA or NHL finals.
I know. How about that? I got some questions for you, too, when it comes to the Stars and Knights. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, yes. we will get to that yes. later on in the show. But this is an NFL program, so we got to get to some of the headlines in the National yep. Football League as well. Talking Austin Eckler, it's official. He is going to come back and play for the Chargers this year after the team added $2 million in incentives, roughly. If you remember, Eckler requested a trade from Los Angeles earlier this offseason. He also said on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio in April that a return to LA would be a worst-case scenario for him. Maybe this eases the pain a little bit. When Adam Schefter first sent out the report, he said it's a win-win for the Chargers that they get their guy, and Austin Eckler in the short term gets a little bit of that extra cash flow if he hits his mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's incentives, and they're probably makeable incentives, you know, when you think about Austin Eckler, but he means so much to what the Chargers want to do. They have a new offense coordinator now, too. He is a weapon. I mean, I know they utilize him catching the rock a lot of times in the screen game and all that, but if you can keep this guy fresh on the back half of your schedule, he's a hard runner. He's a physical runner, too. Low built to the ground, great balance. And so when teams are worn down and you want to run the football, in particular December into the playoffs, you got to lean on a guy like that. And, you know, the Chargers, their reluctancy to lean on a running game in the way that they should has cost them. I mean, I know they have Justin Herbert, but playing with some outstanding quarterbacks throughout my career, Stormy, if they got a running game, that you've heard this phrase before, the running game is the best friend of quarterback. That's because everybody knows what you're doing throwing the football in the month of December and into the playoffs. It gets difficult unless you just have some elite playmakers on the outside. But if you can run the football, be physical, that'll allow you to prevail a lot of times too and certainly help out your defense. So Austin Eckler being back with the Chargers, I think that means everything to this franchise this season.
And I feel for him because he has largely been kind of disrespected by his own team.
Yeah.
No other teams really going out there and offering him anything when he said that he did request the trade, despite in 17 starts last year, an NFL high 18 touchdowns, 915 yards on the ground, caught 107 passes for 700 plus yards. He's used in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And since the Chargers signed him, 63 touchdowns, joining Hall of Famer Lenny Moore as the only players in NFL history to record at least 25 rushing and 25 receiving touchdowns their first 6 years in the National Football League. He has been great for them. He hasn't dealt with a lot of injury concerns. Mm-hmm. But I also understand it from the team side. Oh, we have an aging running back. That position is hard to pay as somebody gets older and out of their prime. But he's playing in his prime. For
they
me.
Need to stop that too. That's, I'm getting tired of that narrative in the National Football League from these coaches and these GMs because the league has turned back the clock. They're running the ball now, right? And I think you got to be different. Everybody's running the spread offenses. Everybody's doing the same kind of scheme when it comes to throwing the football. But my goodness, just the basics when it comes to this game, being physical, moving somebody against their will is part of this game. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to a lot of guys out there. I mean, Bijan Robinson gets drafted in the first round because he's an elite talent. I get it. The wear and tear on that position. Austin Eckler is not showing wear and tear.
Right.
In fact, if you can pair him up with somebody else, then that can be beneficial for you, like I mentioned, in the second half of your year.
Well, and there are certain players like Eckler and like Bijan Robinson who aren't just running backs.
Right.
They're weapons.
Right.
It's a different type of a thing. We see that with Debo Samuel, mm-hmm. who has multifaceted skill sets, Christian yep. McCaffrey, those types of players. That said, I probably still don't want the 15-1 on offensive player of the year
nope,
for Austin Eckler in this spot. How do you feel about the Chargers in general this season?
I wonder what Kellen Moore is going to do. I know Justin Herbert is an incredible player, incredible quarterback. And then Staley, I think the jury's still out on Staley as a head coach, slash defensive coordinator, probably more so as a defense coordinator. I mean, his defenses have been in the lower tiers and points allowed, and he's supposed to be a genius on that side of the ball. So I know they're talented. They got to stay healthy. They're aging too. It seems like they're going to hover around the 9-8 record again. If they can steal a couple more down the road, maybe, okay, now you're talking about a team getting hot. And if they get hot, they're talented enough. If they're hot and healthy, then the Chargers are talented enough to go for a deep run, I believe, in the playoffs.
As a player, like or dislike having the bye week so early? They have a week 5.
I don't like it. I don't like
I don't
it at
either.
All. Yeah,
I don't imagine that you would.
No. That's you're just getting started. I mean, it's still hot outside, Stormy. When the bye week's happening, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go on vacation anywhere, right? I mean, the league just started, and so the season just started. I mean, at least you get halfway through. Maybe you'll take some time off or consider that. But, you know, week 5, you're still just getting into it.
Okay. League owners have all been getting together, making some official changes over the last 24 hours. When we come back here on the Lombardi Line, we will get to a couple of those, including the Thursday night flex game and what I'm calling the Purdy rule. Stay with us here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now for only $9.99. Get access to everything we do here at VSiN, including daily pro picks on all of the summer action, including NFL and college football futures. You get premium analysis from our whole team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit vsin.com/subscribe and sign up now. Speaking of those betting splits, 67% of bets, 74% of the handle on the Miami Heat to close things out and cover the spread tonight. Speaking of the Miami Heat, just saw something come through on Twitter, Pritch, that our guy Jimmy Butler
yes.
evidently failed to participate in required media availability after Game 3 and is getting fined by the league $25,000. You said it's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
I say drop. He's going off tonight now.
Okay.
It's like, you're fining me?
Uh-huh.
$25,000? I'm going to score 25,000 points.
Okay.
Take the over tonight.
There
Take
you
the
go.
Over.
I mean, it could motivate him. Who knows? But, I mean, he was frustrated after Game 3, though, just from what was going on the floor with the Celtics. I mean, I think that's motivation enough. Because, you know, you got mic'd up situations and you know, you're not too happy with the opposing players from the Celtics. And so if you want to throw more motivation to Jimmy Butler, go ahead and do it. He's an incredible player, an incredible playoff run right now. And I'll lean on, again, the fact that Miami has not lost at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, points prop set at 27.5 for Jimmy. Buckets, Butler, rebound 7.5, assists, staying at 5.5. Let's get back to the NFL because, like I mentioned before the break, we do have some rule changes in the NFL that are coming through from the league owners' meetings. And I want to start with a bylaw coming through that we're calling here on VSiN the Purdy rule that will allow a third quarterback to be active on game day without burning a roster spot. This, of course, coming from what we saw in last year's playoffs where Brock Purdy goes down, Josh Johnson goes down, and we're warming up Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey to potentially play quarterback in a game that should never be an issue in. And so I like the rule. I think that it's good that they're doing this, and they're making it specific due to injury.
Right.
You can't throw this third quarterback in for a gadget play some trickeration.
Right.
Like it is, or if you bench your quarterback because he's not playing well, this third guy doesn't get to come in. It is specifically due to injury.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think a lot of teams, they don't like to have three quarterbacks active for obvious reasons, right? I mean, you can only have so many guys active. You got special teams to worry about. Although, we'll get to that too. I don't know if you have to worry about special teams as much moving forward because of rule changes. And so, you know, depending on the roster, I mean, why not have three quarterbacks active? And I know, do you have to make a declaration that it's an emergency situation? Or can you say, look, we want to go into the game with three active quarterbacks? And I wonder how many teams are going to start to do that. I mean, I thought about your 49ers, for example. You know, Purdy with the injury. Certainly, he's probably going to be the starter if he's healthy. But then you got Trey Lance, and you still have the other third overall pick, Mr. Small Hands. His name's escaping me right now.
Can he pick it?
No, that's the other Small Hands.
That's the only Small Hands I can think of.
I know. He went to SC. Good Lord, I can't think of his name right now. But he was with the Jets. He was seeing ghosts. He was with Carolina. Sam Darnold. Thank you. They got two.
He has Small Hands, too?
Yeah, unfortunately. For him. But no, I think, you know, you have two third overall picks on your roster. You don't know about Trey Lance right now. So, you know, if you're Kyle, I mean, wouldn't you like to have three quarterbacks to your availability, especially if Purdy's not 100%? So I don't know how teams will try to find ways to, you know, circumvent or whatever. But the emergency quarterback situation that needed to happen, I think so many injuries. We saw so many backup quarterbacks last year. So that continues, but I just wonder if teams are going to tinker with their roster, their active roster, and in fact have, you know, three quarterbacks ready to go.
Cannot wait for week 13 in Philly. Hopefully by that point, the quarterback that we have elected to go with is good, is healthy, is ready, so that we can have that opportunity to see what those teams best on best really would have been like, because we clearly didn't get it in the NFC Championship, unfortunately. You mentioned those special teams. NFL passed a rule instituting all fair catches and touchbacks come out to the 25-yard line on kickoffs.
Right.
So special teams coordinators don't like it, but making the game safer, all that stuff.
Yeah, and so kickoffs are going out the back of the end zone anyway. A lot of teams were not returning it. Essentially, from a special team standpoint, you have punt return to deal with, field goal, and extra point. That's it. I mean, kickoffs are gone. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to kick off anymore. You know, they're going to fair catch it too. They're not going to set up a return. You get the ball at the 25. You get those extra 5 yards. It's so beneficial for you because one first down, all of a sudden now you can flip the field with a punt, right? So, you know, the 20-yard line, I know it's just 5 yards, but it does make a huge difference. To a lot of teams in terms of play calling, sequencing, and all that. But at the 25-yard line, certainly offenses will have that advantage now off a kickoff.
It incentivizes the return game. Like, let's start making some things happen, right?
Well, I mean, I'd just call fair catch, right, and get the ball at the 25-yard line as opposed to, you know, coffin corner or, you know, a lot of guys are kicking it out the end zone anyway. So you're going to get the ball at the 25-yard line. This makes it easier to get the ball there to fair catch it. Don't set up a return. Player safety is in play as well.
Good news or bad news that NFL owners also passed a vote to allow Thursday night football flex scheduling. It was the only primetime spot late in the season that wasn't eligible to flex until now. But obviously for players, it's a little bit of a different situation. For fans who want tickets to games, it's a different situation. Good or bad?
Well, I think it's good. I think it's a win-win for the league. You know, let's face it.
If for viewers at home, it's a win. I know that.
For
much.
Viewers at home, it's a huge win. And think about the league. I mean, the league and their TV deal, their ad revenue, the partners, they are beholden to those more so than ticket holders. And that's probably hard for people to hear. But we had a COVID year in which there was no fans in the stands. And the league was like, you know what? Our partners, our TV partners, were still happy with our product. And that's where our money is. And we want to grow the game that way, too. So I think streaming is a big deal moving forward for the National Football League. And Amazon is a huge partner Thursday night. And they want the packages to represent that. If they can have competitive games down the stretch, that's a better product for their partner. Now, if you're a ticket person looking for, you know, hey, I got to change my plans and all that. You know, it's a win-win for the league because now more home team fans can buy tickets, right? If that comes to that situation right there.
That's true. And you will have about a month of awareness right. of this. So under right. the league's new rules, it's specifically for games that take place from weeks 13 through 17 mm-hmm. at the end of the year. They're eligible to be flexed. You have to give the team a minimum of 28 days notice that the decision is going to be made. The current slate of games for those five are Dallas at Seattle, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh at New England, San Francisco at Seattle, the Rams at New Orleans, and Cleveland at Jets. Any game that is flexed out of the Thursday night spot will get moved to Sunday. And also, because each team can only play a maximum of two Thursday night games during the season, that any team that's already had two games earlier in the year cannot be flexed into one of those spots. So mm-hmm. just a little more background and context there.
Yeah, I mean, probably week 16, Saints and the Rams, if I'm correct with the Rams.
Doesn't look awesome on paper.
No, I mean.
I think, the clunkers for me in Thursday Night Football uh-huh. last year weren't necessarily the ones at the end of the season. I'm just, at least as I'm looking through it, it was right. like week five when you have Colts at the Denver Broncos yeah. and the Broncos got off to such a brutal start to the season. That was the overtime game that was all field goals or mm-hmm. the week after that, the Washington Commanders beat the Bears 12-7 and there's teams that aren't looking good or looking up. And so
right.
It's those types of games that you want to avoid. But late in the season, I don't remember games being that bad. Maybe that Jacksonville game wasn't good, but
yeah, I mean, you get in these situations too. And you know, teams, whether they got the playoffs sewn up and they kind of want to rest people and that kind of thing. So at least it gives the option for the league to kind of flex. Like say, you know, you get a team like the Cowboys or you know, I'm just throwing out names. I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but the Jets, you know, or whoever.
Yeah.
They have a great year and all of a sudden you get towards the end of the year, you're going to rest players. And do you really want that on TV too? So I think the league wants to just have options mm-hmm. Down the line for their partner there.
The Seattle Seahawks, who I mentioned, are involved at least currently in two of those late season Thursday night games. Just a good note for you guys to be aware of. Tariq Woolen, who was a fifth round pick, ended up tying for the league lead in interceptions his rookie year. He had arthroscopic knee surgery today and is expected to be sidelined until training camp. Mm. But those injuries are usually quick to recover from, but good to know about the Seahawks Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that injury, and fortunate for him, you know, it's early in his career. Like, if you're like me, late in your career, and you're bone on bone, those are not easy to come back from. But no, he'll be back for training camp.
When I tore my meniscus at 29, I didn't exercise for an entire calendar year. So, Tariq Woolen, I have faith in you, my guy. You're young, you're spry. We got Will Hill coming up next. I hear his picks are crazy. I don't know what they are, but I hear they're wild. You're going to like it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25, even if you miss a leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. Log in now and sign up. or opt in and get back $25 bonus bet even if one leg of your one game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, new and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Alongside Mike Pritchard, Stormy Bonantoni with you today on a Tuesday as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. And it's time to welcome in our good friend Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, VSiN contributor, been doing a great job with the NBA. And Will, on a scale of 1 to 10, how emotionally distressed are you that you can't fade D'Angelo Russell props anymore?
Oh, yeah, we're past the 10. We're up to 11. That was really the golden goose for a few games, and it's funny. You know, I cashed on all those unders every game, but I kind of got the handicap wrong. My whole handicap was, well, he's terrible, plus minus, bad on defense. He's not going to play that much. He played a lot of minutes in games, you know, 2, 3. They cut him back a little bit last night. But, yeah, that was a good one. If there's one thing the Lakers can look back on and regret, and Denver was the better team. Happy for him, happy for Jokic. I think they were just criminally underrated for a while. There's one thing LA could have done differently. It's just a different lineup without Russell. I think they were just so much better with him off the floor. He got hunted defensively. And his whole thing is, if he's not great on offense, you can't justify his defense. So that was one thing. I think LA probably played him a little bit too much.
Before we get to your plays tonight, you do have some interesting ones. Just your general thoughts on the Nuggets moving forward, now a big favorite to win the NBA Finals at this spot. And it seems like, despite having to have doubters every step of the way here in the playoffs, they're finally getting respect in the market.
Justified. I mean, they've been really incredible at home. You're going to look back at the Lakers series, and 10 years from now, you know, Denver swept them. That was a really close sweep. Any of those games really could have gone either way. I think the Lakers, probably facing Golden State, I think took a lot out of them. Just the physical toll of covering baseline to baseline, going over those screens, just chasing Steph all around the court. I think that took a lot out of LA. You know, Davis, he's missed a lot of games these past few years, so he's not used to playing every other night. LeBron, at his age, he can do it in short stints. He can do it for a game or two at a time. He can't do it every night. So I think that took a lot out of LA. I think both teams were exhausted by the end of last night. At the end of the day, Denver just has more shot makers. I mean, we could sit here and talk about adjustments and X's and O's and lineups and all this. Like, Denver's just got more guys that put the ball through the hoop. And I just thought, you know, they had more offense than the Lakers. But I think the Lakers probably lost that series. You could say in game 3, but I really think it was in game 2 when they're up 11 late third quarter. They needed to get back to LA 1-1. They weren't going to beat this team 4 out of 5. They've been playing from ahead all postseason, where, you know, you steal game 1. And then you can kind of coast. You can punt on game 2, just control home court. You could dictate the series. Playing from behind in the series was not something they could afford. So I think not getting a split in Denver really cost them the series.
You know, Will, you know, looking at the Nuggets right now too, I mean, do you try to get out in front of their next matchup, whether it's going to be Miami or Boston, and really just try to dissect what's working well with the Nuggets roster right now?
I took it the other day after game 3. I think it was minus 170. I don't know what it is now. I mean, you're starting to get up to $3. That's a little too rich for my blood. I would look at maybe the NBA Finals MVP market, where I thought yesterday, and I gave this out on, I forget where I was, but I gave it out, Jokic was minus 180 to win the Western Conference Finals. It's like they already screwed him out of the regular season MVP. They were obviously going to give him that award. So I don't know if there's a discrepancy in the NBA Finals market. The books usually aren't that dumb where they're going to give you a big bargain on Jokic, but I would expect Denver to hold up the trophy here in a couple weeks, and they're going to have a long time off here, but I would expect Denver. I do think they're a justified favorite here.
Talking NBA Conference Finals with VSiN contributor Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, and you are not only high on the Boston Celtics tonight, but you took a shot with them in the series as well. That 0-150 in NBA playoffs, just being down no games to 3, isn't something that scares you?
I thought you were going to finish your sentence after "you're not high." I thought that's how you were going to just end it.
I was right there with you, Will. I know what you're going. We know that you are high, Will.
This is not popular. This has a very decent chance of looking stupid, but I sense an overreaction here. When I sense an overreaction, I like to bet against it. There's a feeling now that Miami's just a much better team than Boston. They've played much better than Boston, but the case for Boston here tonight is three-point regression. I mean, you look at the three-point shooting. it's 10 of 29, 10 of 35, 11 of 42 for Boston. They've shot the three terribly. Miami shooting over 50% in two of the three games. The other game, they shot 35%. So really, I mean, you could talk about it's the coaching, it's this, you know, it's toughness. And Boston definitely let go of the rope in the second half the other night. And I was on Miami in game three and in the second half the other night. I tweeted out that I was looking at a Miami second half money line, which was 3-1, which I thought was ridiculous. That being said, I just sense an overreaction here. I think, look, Boston had the number one net rating in the league all year. They were the better team all year. And all it takes is one game. If you win tonight somehow, which, look, it's a coin flip game according to the market. If you just win tonight, now you're home in game five and you're favored. Not that that's meant a whole hell of a lot, but then all of a sudden, if you can get that, it's 3-2 and things, it's funny. Miami's the underdog. They're playing with house money. If this ever got the 3-2, now you have to win. Now you have to get to the final. So again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but at 8-1, it's better than a money line rollover. And I just think if you can get this one tonight, think about it this way. If you're Miami and you don't close it out tonight, you only have one more chance at home to close this out. So I wouldn't be shocked if Boston got back into the series. If they just shoot the ball a little bit better, I think we could have a series. And this is going to sound like a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. The NBA is going to take a huge financial hit if this is if they get another sweep, because they're expecting, you know, the conference finals, 11, 12 games between the two series, maybe 13 or 14 in a good year, to only have 8 conference finals games, to have a whole week, Memorial Day weekend with no games. That is a lot of lost revenue. So, hey, if Scott Foster's in the building, if there's a close call late, maybe the Celtics get it here. So, I mean, come on, who wants an 8-day layoff? Let's have a Celtics win tonight, and we'll get them back in the series.
Well, you got to get out of here with the conspiracy theories, because that's all I was seeing on Twitter last night with the Lakers and LeBron with the ball in the final possession. They said the league's called it in. They need the series extended. They need the Lakers to come back. Nah.
I mean, there's so many ways to go here, Will. I mean, we have them right where we want them play with Boston, the plus 800. But, you know, I didn't think about that, what you just mentioned, though. The layoff. And the only thing that I'm willing to lay it with the Miami Heat is because I don't see the fight and I don't see the commitment defensively for Boston. And you know, we had that was their trademark, I thought, as they made their way to the finals last year. So I haven't seen that materialize in this series or this matchup with Miami.
Oh, if you told me Miami won the game and they won it by like 20 points tonight, would I be shocked? Absolutely not. I do sense a little bit of an overreaction. Think of it this way. Boston was up a dozen in the third quarter in game one. They were up a dozen late in the fourth quarter in game two. Then they get blown out in game three, and the narrative, or the sort of feeling here is that Miami's just dominated the series. Well, they won they came from behind in game one and two. They did blow them out in game three, but you know what? If they get the threes to fall, Miami cools off from the line. There's no reason Boston can't win this game. Boston was still a really good team all year, and what you said is completely true. It's possible Miami wins this game, wins it big tonight, and after the series, we hear that Boston was just a mess internally. They didn't like the coach. They didn't trust the coach. They didn't like each other. Jaylen Brown was a mess with all these trade rumors for Durant, which I've heard that, you know, the Celtics went to Tatum last summer when Durant asked for a trade and said, hey, would you be okay if we traded Jaylen Brown for Durant? And Tatum said yes, and that was an issue. But look, it wasn't an issue all year when they were winning games. They won two rounds here. And, you know, Boston has had a habit here of playing well with the backup against the wall, whether it's two games against Milwaukee facing elimination last year, two games against the Sixers facing elimination this year. They seem to have played well here with their back against the wall. So I just think Boston's worth a shot here.
And I see you do also have a correlated play with Jason Tatum over his points prop tonight. Just about a minute and a half left, Will. I know you are always keying in on what's going on in Major League Baseball. What do you got for us on the ticket today?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a pitcher strikeout prop, Eury Pérez for the Marlins. He is 20 years old. He's not old enough to drink, but he's old enough to strike out a whole bunch of people. 13 Ks in 9 innings. If you look at his minor league stats, 260 Ks, 180 innings. And here's a key with strikeout props. He doesn't walk people. Those walks kill your strikeout props because they get the pitch count up. They get these guys out of the game quicker. His whip was under one in the minors. He's probably the best pitching prospect in all of baseball. So as long as he gets 4 or 5 innings, I would expect him to get the 5-plus strikeouts. You can get that at plus money still at DraftKings. So Eury Pérez over 4.5 Ks for the Marlins here.
Awesome stuff as usual, Will. Thanks for doing this. You're the man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. See you guys.
That's Will Hill again, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Can the Boston Celtics do the improbable and come back from down 3-0, Britt?
I mean, the plus 800, right? To do that, it's like I said, I've titled it, we have them right where we want them play, right there. So I don't know if that's it. I mean, anything can happen, right?
I Of course.
I hope it does happen for Will's sake.
I just say, don't throw the whole bankroll on it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and 150 for a reason. Just going to leave it at that. We got to take a quick break, but with all of his hot takes, we got Hot Take Tuesday coming up in hour two.